Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. You want to be first? Great. But first means you're at the bottom. You're on your knees. Paul, you can read of Paul's testimony in one of the epistles. He talks about that, "Hey man, every time I turn around, I got this burden of praying for the church. I do all of this and I do all of that. And aside from that, I also got to pray for all of them churches I started." And he doesn't really say, you know, "You Corinthians or whatever, y'all doing wrong, thou shalt do this or whatever." He doesn't say that. He says, "I beseech you. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God." He was the apostle. He started, I don't know, hundreds of churches or however many it was. But he didn't hook his thumbs and say, "I'm in charge. Look at me, bud. You do what I say or else hit the road." He said, "I humbly beseech you." It's a position of authority, no question about that, but again, the pastor's at the bottom. If that's what you desire, you want to be a pastor, you're at the bottom. Apostle, we're going to get there. The apostles first, it says. Secondarily, prophets, etc. Well, if you're going to put them in order, the apostle, chief, he's even lower than the pastor. We have it all turned around too often. God has a way. God has a way, and we ought to get with His program. His ways are higher than ours. We need to change our ways, change our thoughts, and learn what He has to say. "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, and to verse 14, I suppose. Paul said, "For I think that God hath set forth the apostles last, as it were, appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto the angels, and unto men." Well, look at me, I'm on TV. Look at me, I got thousands of churches in hundreds of countries and they all surrender to me. No. Nothing like that. Paul's opinion, and he was an apostle, his opinion of his job was that he was last and appointed unto death. And a spectacle. People laughed at him. And he was appointed unto death. We know that Jesus died for our sins, and there's nobody that can ever approach that. I mean, you can give your body to burn, Paul said, but his sacrifice, if he gives his body to be burned or whatever, or some martyr in some foreign field or something, that's great, but it affects no salvation. Jesus' blood, his atoning sacrifice is the one that matters. But he calls us to carry our cross, to pick it up, an instrument of death, and to deny ourselves. "Well, I want to do this, and I want to be on TV, and I want to..." No, deny yourself. Take up your cross and carry it. And Jesus carried his cross to Golgotha, and they nailed him to it. And he hung and bled and suffered, and then he died. You want to be an apostle, it has to do with suffering and putting everybody else's needs first. I mean, you're not famous because it talks about being a spectacle. It says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. In other words, the apostle suffered, was stoned, laughed at, mocked, etc., so that those he ministered to could be exalted, could be strengthened in the church and taught the things of God. They excelled while he suffered. Even under this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. I have no idea where I'm going to live tonight, sleep tonight, is what he's saying. He had no idea. Didn't have a house. Sometimes slept in this parsonage, maybe, or this guy's floor. Sometimes slept in a barn. Sometimes slept in the weeds. Had no idea where he was going to sleep from night to night. And labor, working with our own hands. Oh, do you understand? I got all these people giving all this money to me, and I'm, you know, giving prayer cloths in the mail, and they're dropping money in the altar nowadays. Nope. We labor working with our own hands. You know, everybody in this district, if they're not retired, they got a job. Being reviled, we bless. Bless and curse not. Pray for those that despitefully use you, Jesus said. Being persecuted, we suffer it. We allow it. You want to call me names? Well, go ahead. You want to throw stuff at me? Go ahead. Not going to fight back. Being defamed, we entreat or pray for you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. We are made as the filth of the world. Filth. We are the offscouring of all things unto this day. The word offscouring, we don't use that word anymore, but if you got a pot that's rusted or got grease on it or whatever, you get the Brillo pad and you get the scrubbing. Now, it's a pot. It makes good things to eat, but you wouldn't want to scrub on that pot for 5 minutes and then pour it out into a bowl and here, serve that. No, you want to pour that down the drain as fast as possible. That's the offscouring. The apostles are made the filth of the world and the offscouring. You want to pour that down the drain and go off into the sewer. You want to be an apostle? You want to get on TV? No. You want to be an apostle? And again, you desire a good work. You choose a life of being last and laughed at and mocked and disregarded. And when you stand up and try and help people and tell them the right thing, they kick you to the side, don't want to hear you. Tell lies about you. Tell that, hey, you know, this guy stole or this guy's a child molester or whatever. All sorts of horrible lies about you. And he says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Again, we have this thing all backwards and turned around. Matthew chapter 17, we read about the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, same three guys. They said, hey, you know, we saw Jesus and Moses and hey, let's make three tabernacles or three temples and stay. Man, I had such a good time yesterday and the night before at Bible camp. I wanted to build the tabernacle and stay. But, well, praise God, that's not the way it works. We have to go on and walk this thing out. It was good. It was a wonderful presence of God. But, you know, a voice came from heaven and a big bright cloud overshadowed them and God spoke from heaven, just like in Exodus. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. The point is Jesus, and so often we forget it. You know, we had good Bible camp and etc. and we can name a lot of things that are great. Got good singing, good stuff on the radio sometimes or whatever. A bunch of good things in the church, but it's about hearing him, focusing on him, and we get our eyes on everything else, but we need to focus and hear ye him. You know, you go a chapter back, chapter 16 of the book of Matthew. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter made this big comment, whatever, and Jesus said, that's funny. But, you know, Peter, you're a rock. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And, you know, the Catholics, they run with this down the road. We just read, and it's, if you flip the chapter back to chapter 17, hear ye him. Not Moses and Elijah, not tabernacles, not all that. Man, we'll call people up here and no. Hear ye him. In Greek, thou art Petros, a little pebble, Peter. But upon this Petra, a great mountain, I'll build my church. The church is not built on Peter. Church is built on Jesus. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that rock was Christ. Jesus is the rock. There's no other rock but our God and no other God but our rock. You go to the Old Testament, you can find it both ways. It wasn't Peter. Peter made a couple of mistakes, denied the Lord, and Paul had to turn around and rebuke him at one point. He said, you're wrong, Peter. Infallible my foot. And I mentioned this at the conference. Upon this rock I'll build my church. It's in my Bible, red letter Bible, it's in red. It means God come from heaven is speaking. Many churches, too often, they put it in black. We're going to build our church, our denomination. So proud of, look what we did. We're the closest denomination there was to the book of Acts and whatever. But it's about Christ. Hear ye him. Look to him. And if you want to work for him, then your place is lower than you think. But there's the concept of God's reflected glory. We understand that Jesus is great and magnificent, etc., and exalted, and all of that wonderful praise we can give him. But he works through us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's a treasure. It's God's treasure. It's in earthen vessels. We're ambassadors. I can quote the verse, but we work in the name and authority of Jesus and not our own. An ambassador, the president, you know, appoints a secretary of state. They appoint an ambassador or whatever, and they go to some country and whatever, and they said, the president said, we represent the president. It's not, well, I'm the ambassador, and I say, I represent me, and they're going to say, hey, you represent her. You're out of a job. Since the book of Luke, chapter 9, and then chapter 10, the disciples and anybody else that wants to be a follower had the power and the authority to do just about any miracle Jesus ever did. You name something that Jesus did, you look in the book of Acts or whatever, the apostles did about the same. In fact, Jesus said, all the works that I do, you're going to be doing greater than that. Remember, Peter walked on the water. You can go again and again and again and see what all the apostles did, all the miracles, raising the dead and casting out devils and everything that Jesus did. The crippled man, for instance, and the great beautiful. And notice what it says in Acts chapter 3, verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Hey, you know, you're off doing that and you're begging for money and you're not paying attention. Look on us. And he took him, Peter did, by the right hand and lifted him up. Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And you know, he went walking and leaping and praising God, right? And the people said, oh man, look at that. Peter, where's James? I don't know, Peter and hey. And they were looking to them. Well, Peter and John said, hey, look on us. Miracle happened. The people said, well, let's do that. Let's look on them. And Peter saw it. He answered unto the people. He said, men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk? Hey, man, look on us. And then the people looked and they said, hey, why are you looking at us? Contradiction? Well, no. We are ambassadors, beseeching you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We're the ones that preach. We're the ones that pray. We're the ones that knock on doors or aggravate people at Walmart or whatever. We're the ones that are the body and do the work of the ministry. Look on us. Hey, you know, come to our church. But then we turn around and say, well, why are you looking at us? Because we preach Jesus and not ourselves. We need to look and preach Jesus. It's not our power or holiness that made this man to walk. Now, you can say that back in Luke chapter 9 and 10, that he gave him power and authority to do all those miracles, but it's not our power, it's not our authority. We're just an ambassador representing him. Reflected glory. It's God's glory reflected through us, shining through us, etc. God was evidently with the apostles. At one point, talking about reflection, Peter was on his way to church every morning. His shadow was enough to heal people on the sidewalk. And every morning they said, hey, it's 9 o'clock, he's coming. Let's sit out on the sidewalk. And one by one, every morning, however long he stayed in that town, people were healed. Look on us, but no, you need to look to Jesus. That's the point. It's not Peter's power or holiness that his shadow healed anybody, but it was the power of God resting upon that man. It was the power of God in that shadow. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and laid them down at the apostles' feet. Well, they gave me money. Well, maybe not, because it wasn't for them. It was for the poor. On TV in various churches, they throw money on the platform. The guy picks it and puts it in his pocket and goes off and gets another Mercedes-Benz or Rolls Royce. Wrong. The phrase filthy lucre comes to mind. And distribution, it says, was made unto every man according as he had need. There's an accusation by the socialists and communists. They use this passage to say that Jesus and the early church was communistic. Not so. Communism says, I got a gun, you got stuff, you give your stuff to me, and I might go give some to the poor. Christianity says, I see a poor man, I'm going to take my own money, my own self, and give it to him. There's no coercion, there's love. Communism has no love. Joshua, you know, this idea is found all over the Bible. Joshua chapter 6, verse 27, for instance. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. They heard about Joshua, his fame. But then some folks later, three chapters later, chapter 9, verse 9, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. God's man at that time was Joshua, and his fame went abroad. Everybody knew his name. But the people said, that's great, but we heard about God and what God did. Same idea. God's power was with the apostles, but the people followed Jesus. God's fame was with Joshua, but all the people heard about God and what God did down in Egypt. But in the beginning I said that Peter, James, and John seemed to be pillars. And they, you know, that's great. Seemed to be pillars. And the verse I read at the beginning, it says that Solomon or whoever stood up a couple of pillars in front of the temple. One on the right hand, one on the left, etc. And I said that they were made of brass. Again, not laid any foundation for it, but in the temple of God, the tabernacle of God, what have you, there was gold and there was brass and there were badger skins and wood and all this stuff and tacks and all of that stuff. But all of these things mean something. They're symbolic. Brass was a symbol of judgment. Judgment and God's judgment against sin and wrongdoing. But these pillars, they were shiny. I used to work in Baton Rouge. I used to work at Coffee Call when it was on College Drive, and there was a brass railing. I think I've been to one of the other locations. I got a brass railing there or something, but I had to polish that brass once a week, whatever, and I get the brass oil, whatever, and I'd polish, take half an hour and polish, and man, it was shiny. It was great. And then somebody would take one little finger and put one little fingerprint, and it ruined it. And we, you know, so as long as we could stand it, and then it'd get nasty, and we'd have to shine it every Monday or whatever it was. The Levites, which I mentioned earlier, one of their tasks in the temple and in the tabernacle was to polish brass. There was gold, don't need no polishing, it's pretty. And I preached on that before here, but brass can be as pretty as gold, but you have to polish it, and polish it, and polish it, and polish it. Why look ye on us as though our power or holiness had healed this man and made him to walk? It's not us. Now, they were pillars in the temple, but they had to be polished. Again, brass is a symbol, a type of judgment. Peter, O infallible one, was rebuked by the Lord and rebuked by Paul. He had to be polished. He had to say, oops, I'm wrong, and admit his sin. And again, God's judgment is against sin. Pillars in the temple. They appear to be pillars in the temple. But you need to pray. You need to attend a good church, find a good one if there's one. Read your Bible, ask God to help, etc. You need to look to Him. Jude, verse 20 says, but beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You need to polish. You're brass, you need to polish. You can be a pillar in the temple, just like Peter, James, and John. They appeared. And again, this brass was polished. These pillars, they were in front of the temple. And the sun, every morning when the sun came up, the sun would peek over those mountains, and the sunlight would hit those shiny polished pillars, and there was an explosion of light. And people would come for hundreds of miles because they heard of the fame of the temple. And they would come and they would sit in the shadow of that mountain, the sun behind them, and they would wait. Man, look at that watch. Man, it's a few minutes now. I love anachronisms. Yeah. And the sun would peek over and hit those pillars. Again, just a marvelous light show, if you would. Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. We understand that that's a symbol, S-U-N, a symbol of Jesus appearing. And he shines upon us, again, reflected glory. Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus is the sun, and he shines, but there's reflected glory, because the righteous shall shine forth as the sun. As we allow God to do something in us, as we take the lowest place, as we polish and allow God to polish us, it's his glory that's reflected in us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just earth, but this treasure, and he can shine through us. And people will see us, and our fame can go abroad. And everybody knows that, hey, so-and-so is a Christian, man. I'm feeling sick. Let me call him on the cell phone, and hey, can you pray for me? That person's glory can be seen. The fame can go out that, hey, that man, or hey, when a church down the road is a good church you can go to and hear a good word from God or whatever. But it's Jesus that's the source of the light. And we just reflect it. And it says in Matthew, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And I'll close with this. These pillars that the Levites shined every day, and they were so wonderful to see, especially in the morning when in almost it's still dark and bam, there's an explosion of light. They were out in front or before the temple. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Pebble. These pillars, as wonderful as they were, they didn't hold anything up. They were just out in front there to look pretty. Apostle so-and-so, you're not here to hold anything up. The tabernacle and the church of God is built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Magnify your name. Worship you. Look to you. Please help us, Lord, as we attempt to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.